Perhaps as we begin today's studies in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we can have a young man that will read from verse 8 to the end of the chapter.
So last time we had somebody from this side, then that side, so we need somebody from
middle.
In another way somewhere. That part was the first
chapter. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8 to the end of the chapter? Okay. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Well, let's recap a little bit. We learned in chapter 1 that God has purposes that are going to be accomplished in Christ Jesus. You are on, if you are a believer here this morning, you are on the side that has already won. That's a wonderful thing to let that grip us, okay? But we're still in this world. And so Emil reminded us the other day on Monday that we have divine resources. We have resources from God himself and from the Lord Jesus to enable you and I that we might be victorious for him in this battle. Then we were reminded that there is only one thing that we pass from generation to generation. The only kind of succession that the scripture speaks of is passing on the truth of the word of God from one to another. And we are enjoined in the first part of the second chapter to do that, to pass the truth of the word of God, not just to men, but to faithful men. And there was then the idea that these men, that the Spirit of God calls faithful men, would pass that on to others. This is the way the enemy, and it is the only way, the enemy can be met. Then we looked yesterday at three different ideas of men. And I imagine that everyone here could tell us that it was the soldier, athlete. I want to ask you a question. Do you remember the action word that was, without looking at your Bible, what was the action word associated with the soldier? Excuse me? Endurance, wasn't it? Endurance, as we think of a soldier. What about the athlete? Somebody say it. Striving. The athlete is striving. What about the farmer? Working. Laboring, okay? So we want to keep these things in the back of our mind because we're coming to the meat of this epistle. Some of us were speaking this morning as we prayed before we meet with you. And we're going to learn today that God's word doctrine is practical. It is everyday stuff for our life. And we want to see that. That God's, we don't separate, well, I want something practical. The Word of God is practical. It teaches us how to walk, where to walk, what to do, when to do it. Teaches us what we shouldn't be doing. So we find that, and we enter here now in this verse 8. I want you to look at your margin or a Darby translation on this. The word "that" changes this verse entirely. If I read it as it is in the King James, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I make this verse a historical fact. It's not what this verse is. This is not a historical fact. That doesn't belong there. I have my heart, my affections focused on him. Remember, Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead or among the dead according to my gospel. And he says, you know, it has brought suffering. We are a soldier. We are warring. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. And where was he writing from? Prison. A dungeon. But the word of God is not bound. The brother reminded us in the gospel meeting, Satan shoots himself in the foot. If he puts Paul in prison, it's not long before we have an epistle that reminds us of those in Caesar's palace that have been saved by the grace of God. This is the greatness of the one we serve. And we're going to learn the principles whereby we can serve him and be vessels unto honor. This is what we want to see.